This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome everyone to yet another episode of Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z. I'm Matt Fonslow, and the fiercest tigers can never share the same mountain. That and more after a word from our sponsors, Knapp Auto Tech Training and Pico Technology. So, are you looking for the right training provider that offers cutting-edge courses to hone your automotive skills? Well, let Knapp Auto Tech take you to the next level. Go to knappautotech.com for more details about classes near you. Are you chasing elusive automotive problems? Pico Technology empowers you to see what's really happening. Pinpoint faults in sensors, wiring, and components with unmatched accuracy. Picoscope oscilloscopes transform your diagnostic capabilities. Visit PicoAuto.com, that's PicoAuto.com, and revolutionize your diagnostics today. Some of my friends know I've been sending them clips and links and stuff and talking about, I guess, some content providers, which I suppose I technically qualify as now, or have for a while, but I don't do a whole lot of stuff in the shop setting to regular clients. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't started, and I don't know if I will, probably should. A lot of us probably should, for marketing purposes, do regular videos in the shop of our processes or how we go about things. By doing that, you kind of set yourself up as an expert. And that's just the reality of that. I do radio ads every day. There's a 2-minute ad on our local radio station, and I'm trying to pull back the curtain of auto repair. I'm trying to remove some of the mystery, if you will, of the processes and what's really going on and what the mechanic or technician or technical specialist or mechanical specialist or the shop perspective, the owner's perspective on the repair process. Maybe I'll answer a question of why we charge for credit card fees, or why a business repair shop would do that, or why they charge for shop supplies, whether we do that or not. And I do so in a way that I try not to really throw any shop or technician under the bus, even if they make mistakes, to try to, or not even try, I mean, really just level with people that we're human and we do make mistakes. And the issue isn't the mistake, it's how is it handled after that. So it's content like that, or answering questions about brake fluid exchanges, why we do them. Are they taking advantage of us? If they recommend it, if we don't do it, what could happen? Stuff like that. Just trying to level with people. Well, there's also the content out there that is kind of chest thumping, if you will. And I know there's that from technicians, mechanical specialists, technical specialists, recording themselves doing diag or a repair of some sort. It's kind of chest thumping. It's also just putting content out there, but there's also shops that their strategy is to put out content where not only are they succeeding in the repair, but they're kind of trashing on the other repair shops. But we never get a lot of details about what did the other shop do or not do. I kind of feel obligated, because I like his content, to mention Oz or Oz Mechanics. One, I consider him a friend, but really his content is excitement about tackling the car. Doesn't necessarily trash the previous shops. Maybe mentions that they couldn't figure it out or didn't figure it out, or maybe, you know, suggested a parts replacement. And it's fairly rare that I've felt like he's outright just ran other shops or technicians down to push himself up. But there's content out there that does do that. I don't understand the logic of that. And I think I've been doing this now for going on a couple of years or more, and involved in interviews or podcast type stuff where it's, yeah, I don't understand the logic of that. The pushing people down to try to prop yourself up doesn't work so good. If you're drowning in the ocean and there's someone there grabbing onto them might grant you a few seconds more, a few minutes more of life, but then you're just both going to die. You're both going to drown. Whereas maybe working together, you could survive. And maybe it's only one of you. Hopefully it's both. But, you know, probabilities of survival increase. It's nothing new, but there's kind of a term that fits some of these entities. And I guess it isn't just that they're running other people down. It's also errors in their content, which then reveals potentially their true skill set, skill level, knowledge level. And it's nothing new. We've seen this before, just not on such a... The scale is probably not the right word, but really the ability to put the material out there for the masses. This used to be limited to, of course, technicians, you know, tech to tech, or if you go to a training seminar amongst the room or a trade show or training expo, something like that. That was about as far of a reach as you could get. Instructors, a lot of times presenters, they could stand in the front and be the sage on the stage, and they are the expert. And many times they are, sometimes not. Depending on where the venue was, they might be asked to help figure out some problem child. And that's where you kind of started to see the separation. Who could go, who couldn't go. And there's a term for that. I think really coming out of the martial arts or martial sciences, depending on how you want to think about that stuff. Paper tigers. Talk a big game, look a big game. But when it really came down to it, could you really go? And in many cases, the answer was no, you couldn't really go. That you can talk the talk, but when it came down to it, you couldn't walk the walk. And don't get me wrong, it's not always the best scenario that you show up to some venue to do a presentation on whatever. And then, hey, by the way, we got this vehicle. Could you come take a look at it? There's pressure involved. If the vehicle has been looked at by a few pretty knowledgeable individuals, you know it's not going to be easy unless you just get lucky with an overlook or just a misinterpretation of some piece of data that leads you to a quick diagnosis or just not even a quick one, an accurate one. But my belief is to go after these people, if you will, to go after this content is not running them down, doesn't seem like the right move. So in a way, oftentimes we listen to things like this for answers, and I don't know if I have an answer. You know, bad speech, usually we want to meet with good speech. So how do we address a content provider? We'll just say that it's a shop, they have a YouTube channel or an Instagram, and they're putting up videos of success stories where they've successfully diagnosed a vehicle that's been to blah, 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 number of shops, blah, 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 number of dealers. No repair, no fix, thousands and thousands of dollars spent on diagnostic time and certain parts to no avail. And then the content provider just so happens to be the one-stop shop, the last. And they successfully figure it out. They successfully repair the vehicle. The issue is, as I hinted to before, in a way, I guess I flat out said, is that if you watch the content, they've ignored data early on in their diagnosis that would have pushed them towards the proper diagnosis, but they went the other way. And yet, most people consuming the content respond with lots of positive reinforcement. You're so great. I wish we had a shop like yours nearby. I'm not saying the shop's terrible by any means, but you kind of wait for the on the level, right? We get spoiled by that by Scanner Danner. For the most part, if he doesn't know it right off the bat, somebody might say something to him and then he recognizes it, you know, and now lately he recognizes a lot. He has a lot of experience. He's very good at what he does, very good at recognizing missteps, which we all make, right? He's just videoing it and putting it out there for consumption. And then he can retrace it and say, this is where I went wrong, or this was a clue. Instead of taking another 10 steps or X amount of time to arrive at a conclusion, I could have figured it out right here. This piece of data was jumping up and down, screaming to go in this direction. I just missed it. those are important pieces of data, especially Paul is teaching us professionals with some others paying, you know, the general public, motoring public, anybody, honestly, that's not in the profession, they're paying money to watch some of his content to learn. He's presenting to them too as purely an educator, not a marketer. NAPA Auto Tech training sessions are being conducted day and night in a town near you. This training caters to every level within your organization, be it a mechanical assistant, a mechanical specialist, a technology specialist, or a driver safety calibration specialist. Imagine a one-stop shop training partner in NAPA Auto Tech that will lead your team to a path to greatness. Auto Tech's entry-level Build-A-Tech classes convert the untapped potential of your new hires into money-making mechanical specialists. Auto Tech's higher-level tech update classes introduce specialists to the world of ever-changing technologies, which prevents your shop from getting technologically stagnant. Remember, if you're not moving forward, you're falling behind. And, turning to the front of the store, the Auto Tech Service Advisor class is an awesome way to hone your client advocate skill set, ultimately benefiting the customer through an improved vehicle repair experience. But it doesn't stop there. Imagine an electric vehicle class that takes your specialist well past the mundane, yet necessary, safety topics. Well, it's here. Autotech's EV Ready Training is a week-long curriculum that takes participants through a hands-on experience involving hybrids and electric vehicles. The session kicks off with the use of PPE and proper tooling while touching on required OSHA regulations. Then, the students dive into the lab vehicles to gain knowledge of the common high-voltage components on EV and hybrid vehicles and their function. Attendees will be taken on a path exposing them to different electric vehicle manufacturers to compare component form and location. Additionally, information about Level 1 and Level 2 charging systems will be included, along with a quick look at DC to DC charging. The operation and maintenance of subsystems are explored, including the different modes of Tesla operations, and so much more. So what are you waiting for? Commit to taking your business to the next level with NAPA Auto Tech Training. Electric and hybrid vehicles are here, and with them, a new era of diagnostics. Don't get left behind. Pico Technologies EV Diagnostic Kits are your all-in-one solution to safely and efficiently service any electric or hybrid vehicle. From comprehensive high-voltage system analysis and insulation testing to guided step-by-step procedures, Pico puts the power of confident repairs right at your fingertips. Future-proof your shop, boost your efficiency, and become the go-to expert for the next generation of cars. Visit PicoAuto.com today. That's PicoAuto.com. By doing those ads for the shop, those commercials, I'm setting myself up, setting the shop up to be the expert because on the radio, I'm paying for it. I outright say so in those ads that maybe talk about something not automotive related. Just say like, well, I'm paying for this time and say what I want. So when you're on the air, be it video or audio or whatever, you start to become the expert. They're putting out content with errors in it that they're not referencing back like, oh, we're human too. These other shops followed this piece of data the wrong direction, just like we did or started to, and then were able to pull out of it. It bumps up the other shops. It bumps up the other technicians. It doesn't run them down. Meanwhile, you still fixed the car. Even if you took a few lefts, two wrongs don't make a right, but three rights make a left, right? I guess I talked about it how long ago. I referenced professional wrestling and Ric Flair, that rising tides lift all boats, put all of us over. You still succeeded in the repair. You can be on the level, still be the expert, still be the success story, and yet not run everyone else down and thus devaluing them and devaluing yourself along with them. So paper tigers, that was a term used a lot for instructors or presenters. The reach was, you know, really negligible compared to today. And oftentimes it was to other professionals who over time in trying to use this information or watch these quote-unquote paper tigers in action find out they didn't really know what they were doing. And honestly, depending on the situation, the presenter didn't need to. their job was to present information. So depending on how that information is generated, who generated it, you really just needed somebody that was very, had a personality, had good presentation skills, had enough knowledge to answer a lot of questions, enough knowledge to know which questions they couldn't answer or shouldn't, and I will get back to you. I don't know that answer. Let me figure that out. Let me think about that a bit. I'll get back to you. That's what you really needed. They didn't need to be the sage on the stage. They didn't need to put themselves over as being they themselves, diagnosticians, to try to win favor. They may have felt that way. And honestly, those of us in attendance or in the crowd, if you will, probably need to let go of some of that too. We're spoiled by certain instructors who can go, right? Thornton's, Manna's, Scalers, so many of them. I mean, Perkins, Riddell, the list goes on and on. We could rattle off a lot. Tanner Brandt, Justin Morgan, we could keep going and going. Pedro De La Torre, like, yes, very good presenters. They also can go. They can fix cars. They can diagnose cars. They do it day in and day out. So we get spoiled by that. But I don't know if that's necessarily what's needed to have a good presentation. It's nice when you get it, but that being the standard to be whether I can consume the information you're dispensing to me and trust it. I don't know if that's got to be the factor. You can have a very good presenter who does not or can't really, quote unquote, go. They're not marketing themselves as being somebody that can go. So therefore, if the content's good, I can take this back and use it. The presentation was good. The information's good. Who really cares if they can go out and fix the car or not? But I think sometimes we make them feel like they need to. Therefore, they have to play that role or project that and then put to the test they can't. Kind of bring it on ourselves a little bit with that and set them up to fail. So double-edged sword, right? I don't think the answer is to run others down, especially when, I guess I don't want to throw anyone directly under the bus or speak directly which video it is. It's just, it was a vehicle that had been to multiple shops. They couldn't figure it out. And according to the content provider, for all we know, the car's never been anywhere. They were the first shop. We don't know. We have to take their word for it. A knowledgeable diagnostician would have recognized early on in the video that multiple pieces of data were ignored or misinterpreted in favor of a series of silver bullets, which ended up not being the case, almost by accident, because they had to ignore the data. Otherwise, they're 180ing for the repair. You know, the failed component, it just feels like almost by accident. I'm not sure how you go in there and address that. If you know better, like, hey, how could you ignore? It looked like you misunderstood this data. Well, now you're stealing their thunder, right? Or you're trying to, or you're riding their coattails, or you're trying to make yourself look better than they do. It's rough, right? What do you do? So even if you went on there with good speech, is it necessarily taken as constructive? I don't know. My knee-jerk reaction when I can't even call this a knee-jerk reaction because I've been thinking about this a while now. I think the answer has to be a team effort. And I don't mean just us against them. They have to recognize that there's some really, really bright people out there, and there are. And that when they reach out, preferably in private, if there's a way to private message them, not in public, in the comments, but I guess there's no other way, you have your private messaging disabled and they have to make the comment in public, then maybe that's considered, especially if you can figure out the source and the source ends up being good. And honestly, even if you don't know about the source, what they're saying is true, to acknowledge it, to come back with it's kind of a rebuttal, but at least a side note, something. Follow-up video basically saying, yeah, you know what, so-and-so or a few of our colleagues, industry colleagues, some really smart people reached out to us and they made some points. And you know what? They're right. I think that in would be even more endearing with the public, admitting mistakes, admitting fallibility. Also, acknowledging that there's a lot of really, really smart people out there spread out throughout the country. There's a lot of very honest and intelligent technical specialists out there in this case helping out. We're all helping each other get better and better and better. I think that ends up being the answer. I just don't know if egos would allow that. I would like to think so, but I don't know. I'm not sure I buy into that. I think we're very, very quick to get defensive and want to really fight for that spot, real or perceived, as being the expert and infallible. And you can see him getting defensive when it happens. Like, you know, we fixed the car. Forget all that. All that stuff you're talking about doesn't matter. We fixed the car. That's ultimately what it's all about, right? I mean, yeah, it's nice to the client. Absolutely. The vehicle owner, that's the most important thing. And how much did they get charged for going off the path? And yet, I don't know that we necessarily need to give away all that either. It's kind of a double-edged sword of the recording, right? If you're showing your mistakes and now you're charging for the mistakes, whereas in the shop, they may not see the mistakes. You know that you could have maybe went left instead of right, or by recognizing this piece of data, got to the result quicker. It ends up being different. And then we can all have, I think, a healthy debate about how that, or discussion at least, about how that gets charged out. Why not just be honest and open and amongst each other and take constructive criticism? I just don't know that if we can check the egos. What do you think? I would very much like to hear feedback on that. What do you guys think about checking egos at the door, or being able to take advice, criticism, preferably constructive, especially amongst our peers or from our peers, really going about generating material that does put yourself over. It does put the shop over, but maybe doesn't run the others down. Because, I mean, if you run them down far enough, you're better than terrible shop that you've, you know, conveying, you're communicating to the whoever's viewing your content as being a terrible shop, quote unquote, real or perceived, terrible shop. So yeah, shoot me an email at mattfonslowpodcast@gmail.com. I'd really like to hear your feedback on that, or if you have a better solution. And also, I would like to thank the Aftermarket Radio Network for making this all possible. And thank you to our sponsors, Knapp Auto Tech Training and Pico Technology. And until next time, remember, restomp that groin.
You've been listening to Matt Fonslow, diagnosing the aftermarket A to Z on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Matt on your favorite listening app. He's very interested in what you have to say. Let him know what you'd like him to cover and come on the show. Matt is all for advancing the aftermarket. Find Matt Fonslow on social media and connect, or on aftermarketradionetwork.com.